with the same suddenness as death. Those two officers sat in our church, revolvers on their hips. When we prepared to sing our closing hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," the men marched right up to the front without being invited. One of them spoke with a loud bark, like we were hard of hearing. "An order from the Confederate States of America, to which the state of Virginia adheres. All able-bodied men in this Weaver's Church between the ages of 18, he consulted his paper, 18 and 45 must report to the nearest militia office 1 week hence. I don't know what else. He kept wiping with his thumb at the corner of his greasy-looking mustache. Or even if those were his exact words, he sounded official, no meddling. By the end of his speech, I reached for my handkerchief in the folds of my dress and used it to dab. The room was stifling with early heat and the flood of sniffles. Mary Grace, my 11-year-old, put her head on my shoulder and worked an arm inside mine. I pulled her to my bosom. My thought was for Andrew, my firstborn. He's 18, 3 months from 19. Simon, of course, is included in the call-up. He has returned to his morose condition. A month ago, he had turned inside himself and would not speak, except for the barest of instructions to the boys. I could only guess at the provocation, knowing when the silence began. There was much talk about men being hassled to change their votes. I didn't know if Simon had been spit upon or reviled in some other manner. Nothing could be gained from plying him with questions. He turned his back in bed. "Finally, on a Monday night," he said, "I did a terrible thing. My eyes jumped to the shotgun above the mantel. It told no tales." His words came after two Sundays in a row when he'd stayed home from church. No explanation. The night he broke his silence, our children stayed quiet in their beds. Some of them too quiet. Simon and I sat at the kitchen table where the lamp provided light for sewing. I paused in my shortening of pants legs for William and Joseph. I was tucking up extra material so they could wear what's now too short for Andrew and Peter. "What do you mean?" I glanced at his hands, his fingers twisting and untwisting. "I voted for..." He wouldn't say the word, but I knew. His silence had started when he came home from Mount Crawford. After the vote had been taken, they called it a popular referendum on secession. He said again, "Terrible thing." His hands cupped his face. My chest thudded, waiting, but there's no pushing Simon. He'd already gone outside that night, checking on the horses. He used to be a sound sleeper, but now he gets out of bed at any hour, if he hears noise, or thinks he hears.